Greetings, everyone. This is Fred Coulter. Welcome to Church at Home. Church at Home is sponsored by the Christian Biblical Church of God, and we are dedicated to restoring original Christianity for today. And that is the most important thing that needs to be done. See, there are a lot of people who claim to be Christian. There are a lot of people who go to church. There are a lot of people who believe what they have been taught from the pulpit and what they see coming out of the Bible as true. However, it is not true. Let me ask you a question. Have you ever heard of the phrase, the Christian Passover? Now, for a Jew, that's morioxon, because a Jew thinks that the Passover is only for the Jews. And if anyone tries to keep the Passover, then they get really angry about it. But there is such a thing as the Christian Passover. Now, you see, we have some other conundrums that we are looking at. Catholics say they don't need the Bible to do what they preach in their religion. Protestants say, if you have Christ, that's all you need, and you don't need anything else, and you don't need the Old Testament. And when they say that, they're willingly ignorant of what God has given in the Old Testament. And the Jews say, well, we look at Christianity and all of the idolatry and all the things that are done, and that's no more than baptized paganism. And that is true. However, they reject the New Testament, most of them. There are a few Jews who don't. And yet they cling to their traditions. Yet they cling to the teachings of men. Now, here at Church at Home, we strip all of those things away and we look at the Scriptures, because the only way to understand the Bible and understand God and to understand the fundamentally most important thing in the whole Bible, and that is the Christian Passover. Now, it shouldn't come as any surprise, because we've covered about the God of this world, who is Satan the devil, who is deceiving the whole world, that most of those who claim to be Christian have never heard of the Christian Passover. But we're going to cover it. We're going to understand, as we have covered, see, that's why we went through the Passover and unleavened bread in the Old Testament. So you get the understanding and teaching of God. And what we saw was that God created into the heavens and the earth the timing of the calculated Hebrew calendar. And God uses the calculated Hebrew calendar. The one you look at on the wall at your home is not God's calendar. And especially if you're in Europe, because in Europe, you look at the calendar on the wall, and they have Sunday as the seventh day of the week. How about a lying sleight of hand of fantastic proportions? And very few people realize that even all the corporations in the world run on that same basis and have Monday as the first day of the week. So you see, it's very convenient. Satan substitutes the calendar of God with a Roman calendar and all the pagan holidays on it. And then those who profess to be Christians turn around and say, well, all of these are sanctified by the church. And if the church says to keep Halloween and Christmas and New Year's and Easter and Lent and all of the pagan days, then they must be right, because the Pope has the power to sanctify them. Really? Let me ask you a question. Does any man have the power to command God what to do? Now, we've covered this in past segments of Church at Home. But you've got to stop and think about it. Shall the created say to the creator, "What are you doing? I don't think we need to do that." Do you think that God is going to bow down at the feet of those presumptuous idiots who think they can tell God what to do? Who think that they can throw away the law of God and cast it behind their backs and ask for God's blessing on their blasphemous, pagan, satanic practices? Now, someone's going to say, "Boy, all you do is attack these other religions." Well, when are they going to examine what they are doing with the Bible and change themselves? So we're going to look at the Scriptures. What is it that makes, number one, a Christian, a true Christian? Because there are many, many, many varieties out there, and some of them are 95% biblical. But just like we pointed out, if you set sail on a voyage and you're 5 degrees off, you ain't going to arrive where you're supposed to arrive, and you're going to be off course, and you're going to think everything is fine when it is not. Now, when we're talking about who is a true Christian, we're talking about that 5%. When we're talking about the Christian Passover, we're talking about less than 1%. So let's come here to Matthew 7. Let's see what Jesus said. Now, what I want you to do is, when we go through these in Church at Home, I want you to examine your life, your practices, what you have believed, what you have accepted as truth, and you do a fundamental command of the Apostle Paul, especially for those who believe in the Apostle Paul. He says, "Prove all things. Hold fast to that which is good." Now, if you are a scripturalist, that's what you will do. If you believe in the traditions of men, you will never understand the Scriptures. And you will never, with all of the best efforts that you can put forth, with all of the money that you can spend, with all the buildings that you can build, with all the people that may follow you like lemmings, you can't make yourself a true Christian. Now, you need to understand that. And we can't mock God. We can't tell God what to do. Because God says in Isaiah 40 that all the nations of the world are a drop in a bucket. Why don't you go get yourself a 5-gallon bucket? Make sure it's dry. Get yourself an eyedropper and drop in one drop. And look how worthless that one drop is in a 5-gallon bucket. God says, all the nations of the world are as a drop in the bucket. See, because unless you believe God, unless you love God, unless you are searching with all your heart for the true God, all of your religious works are for nothing, even if they're done in the name of Jesus, because there are many counterfeit Jesuses out there in many counterfeit churches. This is why Jesus said in Matthew 7, Verse 13, enter into the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and many are those who enter through it. Now stop and think a minute. Isn't it something where people want the easy way? Don't people always put things off until the last minute before they do them? Yes, because that's easy. Yes, isn't it human nature to wait until there's a disaster upon them that they can't handle and they say, oh God, where are you? And God's answer is, where have you been? Why do you just seek me when you're in trouble? When I've given you all of these blessings, and I've provided everything for you, and I've created the world and everything in it. And that you have to depend upon God for every breath you breathe, every morsel of food you consume, and every drop of water you drink, and wherever you live, it has to be built out of what God has created. And there are those who are atheists and reject God. And many religious people think that they're right with God. But they reject him too. Now think about it. When you went and received the Lord, was it easy? What does it say here? Verse 14, for narrow is the gate and difficult is the way that leads to life. Now that one verse means an awful lot. Narrow, that means it must always be according to the words and commandments of God. Not what we think, not what we feel. Because you see, if we go into things by how we feel, without having the facts first, and without proving the truth first, we're going to be deceived. How about you? You need to answer the question, see. That's why church at home. Now, there are a lot of people trying to keep people from having church at home. However, they're not going to succeed because they are ending up fighting against God, and no one can fight against God and succeed. Now let's read this again. For narrow is the gate, and difficult is the way that leads to life, and few are those who find it. How about you? Does that apply to you? Let's come down here to verse 21. It talks about false prophets. Have you ever met a false prophet? Now, he may be really nice, may have a wonderful personality, may have a great following, may have a wonderful smile plastered on his face all the time, and telling you good stories of how you can succeed. But they're not from God. Oh, yes, they use the Bible. Now, there's a difference between using the Bible and believing the Bible and living by the Word of God. Their day's going to come. There's going to be a resurrection that's coming, and they're going to be raised from the dead, and they're going to be standing there and say, Lord, oh, I'm so happy to be here. And then they're going to realize, why, they aren't spirit beings. They're physical beings. They're resurrected to a physical life again. And let's see what's going to happen to them. Verse 21. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven. Do you call Jesus Lord? Do you call the Father Lord? How is your life? What do you think of the commandments of God? Do you believe the law has been abolished? Then you're blasphemously accusing Christ of being lawless. Oh, well, I never thought of it that way. Well, you better start thinking with the scriptures so you know right from wrong. Now let's finish this sentence here. But the one who is doing the will of my Father who is in heaven. Question. Are you searching out the will of the Father who's in heaven? Are you doing that will? Are you living that way? If you believe that you can enter into the kingdom of God by doing away with the laws of God, you are deceived to the utmost. Now, you need to go online to cbcg.org, and you need to go through the series that we have just put up there called Grace Upon Grace. And you need to understand what real grace is all about. And you need to realize that most of the preachers that you see and that you hear that are accepted by the world with all of their religions are the false prophets in sheep's clothing. Now, it doesn't matter how nice they may appear to be. It doesn't matter if they use scriptures from the Bible or not. Even Satan can quote scripture. It's how do they use the Bible, how do they use the truth, and all of this becomes of paramount importance in understanding about the Christian Passover, because unless you keep the Christian Passover after you have repented and have been baptized and have received the Holy Spirit of God, you are a counterfeit. You're going to be just like it says right here. The day of resurrection and the day of judgment is coming, and you're going to think that, oh, I've got it made. Now, you see, because here is the thing that's important to understand. You can't slough it off to your preacher. Well, he said. See, because that means you haven't learned the first lesson of Genesis 3 about the sin of Adam and Eve. Well, Lord, it's your fault. It was the woman. And the woman said, well, it's not my fault. It was the serpent. What happened to them all? They were all cursed. What's the final curse? The lake of fire. So you see, God has a dividing line that is absolute. And that is, do you have the Spirit of God or not? And you don't receive the Spirit of God without repentance, without counting the cost, without completely yielding your life to God the Father in Jesus Christ. Then you're to walk in newness of life. So this becomes important. Now I'm sure that maybe some people may think that what I'm bringing out here is a little overmuch. But pray tell, how should I present it when the Bible says that ancient serpent, the dragon, Satan, the devil, is deceiving the whole world? And you look out in the world in the day, we are oppressed by lies. We are surrounded by lies with make-believe reality. How else to get the attention of people to understand that what they are doing is contrary to the will of God and yet calling themselves Christian? So before we answer the question as to what is the Christian Passover and who should take it, we're going to answer the question, who and what is a true Christian? Now let's come to the epistle of 1 John. Now, I've talked to Protestants, and, you know, it's very interesting. Now, we've covered some of these before. But now, I want you to think about it in relationship to what we're going to cover here today. And they have said, well, when they go to church, they hardly ever hear any sermons from the Gospel of John or the Epistles of John. Now, let's talk a little bit about the Apostle John, because he was the apostle whom Jesus loved. And he was the longest-lived apostle, and he was the one, along with Philip and Andrew, who canonized the New Testament, that is, set it in God's seal before he died in about 99 to 100 A.D. Now then, nowhere does John ever say the law has been done away. And let's understand something here very important concerning law. You cannot do away with law any more than you can do away with the law of gravity. So for a true Christian, with the Spirit of God, united with his mind because he's repented and been baptized, he does not throw away the law of God. He keeps it in the Spirit and in truth. Because the laws and commandments of God will be written in his heart and in his mind. That doesn't mean he's perfect, because we all have to overcome. But here is what the Apostle John wrote. Verse 3, 1 John 2. By this standard we know that we know him. There are a lot of people who say, know the Lord? I know the Lord. See you in church on Sunday. Oh, by the way, that's a day that Jesus never sanctified. But we'll see you in church on Sunday because everyone's doing it, and we're a bunch of nice people, and we have lots of wonderful songs, and we have those who give their hearts to the Lord, and it's a wonderful thing. And the most precious thing about it is when you understand that you don't have to keep the commandments of God or even look at the Old Testament, then you're going to be free. Really? Verse 3, by the standard we know that we know him if we keep his commandments. Do you do that? Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. Do you do that? Do you say you love God? Right now, all of this is important because you need to understand who and what is a true Christian, so that you can understand why you have to take the Christian Passover. Verse 4, the one who says, I know him and does not keep his commandments is a liar, and the truth is not in him. You know, people can even lie with smiles on their faces. People can even lie and be so nice and kind and have a pleasant voice and a pleasant demeanor, but they're lying. Every con man is good at that. You might want to watch the television series, American Greed. The one who says, I know him, and does not keep his commandments is a liar, and the truth is not in him. All right, next time we'll pick it up right here and go on. But here's a book you need, The Day Jesus the Christ Died. This is fundamentally one of the most important books for you to read concerning the Christian Passover. Because unless you understand the day, the timing, the method of Jesus' crucifixion and death and burial and resurrection, you do not understand the truth and you are not a true Christian. Next, you need the book, The Appointed Times of Jesus the Messiah. Now, this gets into some real important reading concerning that God had everything planned, and as we will cover here, at the appointed time Jesus died for the ungodly. Now, since a lot of people are going to accuse you of Judaizing, and they don't have a clue as to what it means. They think Judaizing means the whole Old Testament. And the Jews are very happy to perpetuate that definition in the minds of Christians. Now, that's how you cut yourself off from God. So you need this book, Judaism, a revelation of Moses or a religion of men. Because I'm here to tell you right now, unless you understand about Judaism, you cannot understand the New Testament. So once again, thank you for inviting me into your home. And this is Fred Coulter saying, until next time, so long, everyone.